With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Wednesday to you, everybody. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. NBA playoffs on the docket. NFL draft coming your way a week from tomorrow. We'll talk to Elijah Qualls, Washington defensive lineman. He's going to join us an hour from now. Hit us up at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Meraz, you've booked a lot of these NFL draft prospects. Do you have a type of guy that you like the most? Like, in other words, is a big boy like a defensive tackle like Elijah Qualls the type of guy you're most looking forward to hearing from? Or is it a wide receiver? Is it a quarterback? You like the big guys.
It's always a big guy. If you're basically a chunky guy,
yes,
and you could get out there and you move and you got quick feet,
uh-huh,
whether that be, like you mentioned earlier, Algie Crumpler, big waist, big old rear end, playing tight end.
You've always fancied yourself as an Algie Crumpler,
oh yeah,
type on the flag football field.
Algie Crumpler is like a snow cone built upside down. A little thin at the head, walks down, big rumpus there, okay?
Yeah, big rumpus.
That's the kind of athlete I like. Defensive lineman like Elijah Qualls, he's got quick feet. He played running back in high school, but he weighs 313 pounds. If you could join Chubbo Nation, you could move on a field. Pablo Sandoval pops the belt, swinging for the fences.
Yeah.
That's the guy I like. It gives the chubby people hope. Chubby people everywhere look up to these people, and it's good to hear them.
One of the things that you were always very bothered by in Deflategate was that the Patriots blamed the deflator terminology, that label, on a guy that was trying to lose weight. You always felt like that was really unfair.
Yeah, and I don't understand how that still has not gotten enough play. They literally said they were using the word deflator because their ball boy was fat and trying to lose weight.
Yeah.
That is fat shaming to a T. There's no way that's why they were calling him the deflator. And this guy, whatever his name was now, I forgot, was it John Jastrzemski or...
It was either Jastrzemski or...
McNally,
yeah, the other guy.
Or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, McNally, right.
Yeah. He's out of a job and is probably eating 20-piece McNuggets every day.
That's right.
Chubbo.
And getting fat shamed by the Patriots. It's not right.
People focus on the ideal gas law. They focus on the was it BPI or BMI or whatever that stupid index was of the ball pressure.
Yeah, I don't think it's body mass index.
And people focus on whether the Colts were tipped off by the Steelers and smashing of the cell phone by Tom Brady. But you have always said the most underrated piece of the puzzle that nobody talks about is the fat shaming done on one of the ball boys.
Fat shaming. That's all they did was fat shaming. Now they're going to celebrate at the White House 2 years later again when they don't like fat people and don't care for them. Don't expect the Patriots to draft Elijah Qualls. Too fat for them.
Even if you're fat.
So you are saying heavy people around the country, around the world even, should band together and make a statement, no Patriots.
If you're above 280 pounds and rooting for the Patriots, it's time to look at yourself in the mirror for two reasons. A, you're above 280 pounds. B, they don't like you.
They don't like you at all.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this. They don't sell Patriot 3X jerseys anymore. Don't like fat people.
Okay. So last night, also in Boston, the Celtics lose again as the one seed to the eighth seeded Chicago Bulls. This is a bad look for the Celtics. And let me tell you, I have always considered Brad Stevens one of the best coaches in college basketball, and now one of the best coaches in the NBA. I think him pulling this roster together and riding it to a one seed this year shows what a tremendous coach that he is. That team has kind of continuously been able to go to places like Golden State and play well, sometimes when they were not intimidated by opponents, that the Celtics really have seemed to build something special. Yesterday, was it? Or no, it was Monday. Chris Mannix joined us from the Vertical, Yahoo Sports NBA Insider, and said, after LeBron leaves, the team, the franchise that is best suited to take over as the powerhouse of the East is the Boston Celtics. They're already winning. They've got a great coach, Isaiah Thomas. Young Jaylen Brown, Mannix said, can become a star. And they've got the Nets' next two picks this year. Could be the first pick overall in the draft. Certainly seems like it's going to be in the top three. So a huge opportunity. But last night after the loss, I'm scrolling through social media.
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
And I've got a lot of former friends, colleagues of mine that work in Boston because I work there as well at 98.5 The Sports Hub on CBS Sports Radio. And people are killing Brad Stevens, saying Brad Stevens is a choker. He's not a good playoff coach. He's this and that. And I said, boy, the honeymoon is over already on Brad Stevens through two games. The guy coached him to a one seed this year. I think part of this is just raw nerves right now. It's easy to lash out. I think ultimately people should respect Brad Stevens, and when cooler heads prevail, they will. But it goes to show you that the Celtics felt to a lot of people like a paper tiger this season, that they backed into the one seed because the Cavaliers collapsed, and it was a very underwhelming Eastern Conference. I mean, when you look at this, the Celtics were the one seed in the East and were 10 games worse than the Spurs that were the two seed in the West. So there seemed to be a lot of sentiment that maybe this could go bad on them quick. But how bad? Last night, Avery Bradley admitted that during the game, Rajon Rondo was telling his teammates that team has quit.
Our team, I looked around and a few times in the game, you know, guys were putting their heads down and I think getting down on ourselves. But as a team, we have to stay together. We have to, the other team is looking at that. You know, they're using that as motivation for themselves. And I could even hear Rondo like, yeah, they gave up. They gave up. But we never can let a team see that.
Rajon Rondo has a personal investment in this series. He was a former Celtic. Obviously, he comes back as the enemy. I think the way that it ended in Boston is very difficult for him. Maybe he resents Danny Ainge, whatever. So Rondo's also the ultimate trash talker. Rondo obviously has a cutthroat mentality when he's focused. So I could totally see him kind of barking this thing out. Hey, they've quit. They've quit. They've quit. But I think the Celtics also are a young team that haven't been in this spot before and are a little emotionally fragile. They're being pushed around. They're being physically dominated by the 8 seed. The 8 seed has a 2-0 series lead on them and won both on the road in Boston. I heard before the playoffs that the Celtics were being considered one of the worst 1 seeds ever, maybe the worst 1 seed ever. And I kind of poo-pooed it. I said, no, don't be fine. The Bulls are dysfunctional. The Celtics are well-coached. They're disciplined. They've got home court advantage. They'll be able to win this series relatively easily. Oh my gosh, was I wrong? Even if the Celtics win this game, they're going to have to win the next 4 out of 5 or 4 straight. I just think that the Celtics are getting humiliated right now. They're being humiliated because you've got a Bulls team that doesn't fear them in the least, and they're the 8 seed. In a 1-8 matchup, the 8 seed should look like a totally different world. Kind of like the Blazers and Warriors. I mean, the Blazers are just not in that stratosphere. In this case, Again, I said this after game one. If you took the seeding away from the screen that you were watching, you didn't know what the seeds were, that would look like a 4-5. It might look like a 3-6, and it might look like a 3-6 where the Bulls are the 3 and the Celtics are the 6. The Celtics need to, at the very least, stop embarrassing themselves in this series. Because right now, it's too easy for the Bulls. And they did it both on the road. They're just working them over. Sean's next up. He's in Pennsylvania listening on CBS Sports Radio's 96.5. What's up, Sean?
Hey, what's going on, DA?
How you doing?
All right, my man.
Good. What's going on?
Hey, I think Mraz is a little ill-informed about the Patriots worrying about people's fate.
Oh, yeah? Why is that?
Well, I'm a Miami Hurricanes fan, and my boy Vince Wilfork played for a long time with the Patriots.
True. That's a very good point.
That's a good point. Never a very trim band.
That's a good point. Should we say that Vince Wilfork is the best fatso ever to play for the Patriots?
Yes, but when did Vince Wilfork leave the Patriots? When did they say, you know, we don't want you anymore?
Last, what, 2 years, 3 years?
Following that Super Bowl when they had a problem with the deflator. So when they really hit him that they hated fat guys, Vince Wilfork was shown the door too.
So you're saying that the Patriots had a philosophical change on Deflategate that now we hate fatsos?
They may have had that underlining issue, like they always hated fatsos, but they let it slide. But the moment a fatso messed everything up for them, they wanted all fatsos out the building. And Wilfork was sent to Houston.
Isn't Belichick, though, becoming kind of a fatso?
But that, I mean, listen, when you get that old and you become a fatso, you don't realize you're becoming a fatso. You think of yourself, you know, as the defensive coordinator of the Giants, skinny with a pencil in your ear.
So he's got a vision of himself as a skinny guy in his 30s.
Of course. I think I'm 40 pounds lighter than I am. And I'm only 30.
You know, Mraz brings up some good points. The Patriots might be fat hating. And that's just not right. We should embrace everybody, all body shapes and sizes.
You watch how thin they look at the White House today. You watch.
It's a great point. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Oh, we'll be watching. Hit me on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Why is Tom Brady missing skipping today's White House visit? Bernie tweets, gents, it's Giselle cracking the whip and the couple's PR people agreeing in him. Stay neutral. Maximize their selling power. Probable, possible part of this. I just think that Tom Brady realizes he's connected politically to this administration. So going to the White House and having snapshots of him shaking hands with a polarizing president, being roped into this by the right that's going to say, look, Tom Brady champion, loves Donald Trump. By the left that says, look, Tom Brady is supporting this president. He probably just wants to avoid all of that, is my guess. He just wants to avoid being politicized in this way. That's my guess. Maybe it's also a locker room thing where he's got a bunch of guys that are not making the trip because they disagree with the White House politics. And if he's the leader of the locker room, doesn't want to fly in their face. But Brady, I respect for not wanting to fan the flames, but also sometimes they get annoyed by because he wants to be so milquetoast, he wants to be so vanilla that he doesn't ever really take a stand at anything where it makes you wonder, well, why aren't you more convicted in what you really believe then? You want to believe what you want to believe, which is fine. I mean, everybody has that right, but you don't want to vocalize it because you're worried. That's a little lame to me. He's the most powerful voice in sports, or at least in the league, and he clearly has relationships or inclinations, but doesn't really want to vocalize them. Wants to kind of stay out of the fray. But then had a Trump hat in his locker, so he has some willingness to be publicly supportive, but he doesn't go all in. He like dips his toe in the water and then says, it's too cold. Sorry, I can't do this. 855-212-4CBS. When we return, last night, the Clippers save their season at least for one night. Is this just delaying the inevitable, though? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
New time slot, same hygiene.
Are you still going to be doing the beam up thing? You know, if people are calling in asking me beamed up in the morning, that's just a lot of jobs that are just going to be losing people, right?
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
How old are your smoke alarms? Replaced today with Kidde's worry-free alarms. Get 10 years of power and no low battery chirps. Kidde, technology that saves lives. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We are live streaming if you want to watch the webcast as well. WatchDA.com. I think by next week we'll finally have the camera trained on the control room behind the glass so that you guys can see Mraz and Pete the Body Bilotti on a daily basis as well. That's an important part of this puzzle. Right now, there is the slight feel of a hostage video with it just on me in a very barren, cement-laden studio. But fear not, Mom, Dad, I'm doing great. They're treating me very, very well here. Three hots in a cot. Feel great. They're rationing out the porridge. And I'm okay. I really am. The tang is very, very sweet. Very sweet. I'm okay. 855-212-4CBS. Ernie's next up in Tennessee, listening on CBS Sports Radio 640. What's up, Big Ern?
What, DA, how are you liking the new location so far, sir?
I'm loving it. It feels like we've reached a different audience that never got to hear the show. I'm getting a lot of people saying, hey, I never got to hear you before, but I like it. So this is very cool for us. The only problem is Mraz is being tempted by donuts and bagels on a daily basis now in the studio, and that's not doing well for his diet.
That's not stuff that Brian Jones leaves behind, is it?
I don't think so. But if Jones brings in a big breakfast, I'm sure that he's going to let everybody know.
Yeah, I miss Jonesy, too. Another good guy.
He's a good man.
But the deal is I'm happy for you and Mraz, and I hope that success keeps coming as it did on the DA show. You've come a long way since the overnight DA.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Ernie. Yeah, been a long way since those overnight hours.
And I heard my little deal there where I said I listened to all the shows, and I appreciate the little cut that you put in there for me. It might not mean much to you, but it means a lot to me. I listen to CBS loyally on a regular basis, and some show others, but I listen on a regular basis.
We appreciate the loyalty, my man. For a long time, I know you've been with us, so thank you very much for that.
And myself is what I call the what do we do to get this train headed in the right direction?
I think there's two things that the Celtics have to do, Ernie. And again, I just want to thank you for the loyalty since we were on in the overnights. We were doing overnights 2 a.m. until 6 a.m. here on CBS Sports Radio when we first launched the network. So everybody that's been there since then, I have a very, very close and real affinity for because they remember us back when this was a normalcy.
Come on, Damon. Wake up.
Guys like Painkiller Pat calling up in the middle of the night going on 12-minute rants about the Archangel.
I can't even watch a sporting event without thinking he's fit.
Did Painkiller Pat have a job?
I don't even have a job, Damien.
You did not. And my name is definitely not Damien. But we'll give the pass to Painkiller Pat there. I think there's two things for the Celtics, Earn. Number one, they have to be better in the middle. They're getting pushed around by the Bulls. And I don't know if this is going to be about Damari Carroll. Maybe it's going to be about Al Horford. Whoever it is underneath, they just don't have big bodies, but they've got to play bigger. And maybe that's difficult for them because, again, they don't have the natural size underneath. But the fact is the Bulls don't fear pushing them around and winning the physicality game. And now you're going back to Chicago. So what are you going to do here? Are you going to try to outshoot them on the road when they've got Jimmy Butler and Rondo and Wade in their backcourt? What are you going to do? Maybe it's Jay Crowder. Maybe it's Horford. Maybe it's Olynyk. Maybe it's Zeller. I don't know. But they are going to have to figure out a way to stop getting dominated underneath and losing the rebounding edge. Number two, fact is Isaiah Thomas just has to have an enormous game. And game one, he did 33 points. Game two, he did not. Last night, just 20. They won't win unless he has those electric moments. So not only do they have to have him do that, which he did in game one, but then they can't get pushed around, which they did in game one. Both of those have to be what they do, or else they're going to get embarrassed here. And they're the one seed. They could lose in four or five. The Clippers have avoided elimination, obviously. Well, they've avoided being embarrassed by the five seed Utah Jazz by at least winning last night to make it a 1-1 series. And the Clippers, I just don't like where they are mentally. I mean, every game, every day is speculation about the end of this tenure and whether Chris Paul and Blake Griffin are going to opt out of their contracts, if they're not going to come back, if the Clippers decide to go in a different direction, if it's just DeAndre Jordan, maybe they get rid of Doc Rivers as well. I think Doc has built up enough goodwill with Steve Ballmer that I think Doc is going to be allowed to stay. But I just don't know what the mentality of those guys are and that team is. They feel like the crazy chick in high school that you don't know whether she's going to come in to class that day and be totally cheery and cool, or she's going to come in and be weeping at her locker. It just feels like they are very emotionally brittle and that they're looking ahead. Like, did you ever have that friend in high school that was worried about college and didn't know what was going to go on because he didn't know if he could leave? He didn't want to leave the hometown. He didn't know about going away, but he didn't want to stay necessarily, but was all really nervous and anxiety ridden and couldn't stop thinking about what was going to happen when college came and what am I going to major in and where am I going to go and am I going to afford it? It just feels like that's the Clippers, that everything is kind of fast-forwarded to what happens in the offseason, what happens in the next round, what happens if we have to face off against the Warriors, are we going to get embarrassed again? All of this stuff, I just feel, has been piled on top of them, and they're like suffocating in this whole thing. They get the win last night. Good, it's 1-1. I don't think they're focused and emotionally right now to be able to really make a run of the playoff. They just don't feel that way to me with the way that I watch them play and what I hear them say following these games and in between these games and off days as well. We have a picture on Facebook right now that we have to address when we come back. The hockey playoffs are a different beast. In the hockey playoffs, you can get a frozen vulcanized piece of rubber shot at 100 miles an hour into your septum and then play the same game. But do we need it on T-shirts? We will discuss coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
While the sun is out.
Aw, I love the da.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Don't we all? Remember that the DA show is fully podcastable, so any episode that you may miss or want to hear again, it's all good. Simply go to iTunes. DA on CBS, you can search it. You'll see full episodes of the show broken down hour by hour, so listen to the hour that you want. Listen to multiple hours. Limited commercial interruption. It's a very cool way to listen and catch up on the show. iTunes, every episode, every segment, every hour is available there. And then also on our website, daoncbs.com. Wild Bill tweets in, DA, life is a wonderful journey. I kid you not, I get in the car, I hear your voice, I think of Painkiller Pat, and then you play the clips.
Come on, Damon, wake up.
Didn't we just hit an anniversary of Painkiller Pat, like it was the four-year anniversary or something like that?
Yeah, in March, around March 20th, so about a month ago, four-year anniversary of Painkiller Pat.
What set him off? What was the Pistons? I said something happened to the Pistons. Oh, Somebody delivered one of the most...
Somebody dunked over whoever on the Pistons, and he said basically everybody hates Detroit.
And I said it might be the greatest dunk in NBA history, which probably is hyperbole because I can't even remember who dunked. But, yeah, then he was from Detroit, and he called in, and Painkiller Pat was set off in the middle of the night when we were doing overnights and just went on this incredible tirade for... And I couldn't go to commercial break. I said, this is too good. That would probably not fly in this time slot because the bosses are listening. But when we were doing overnights, nobody was listening. It was great.
Exactly.
And so we could just, well, when I say nobody was listening, the powers that be were not listening.
We're not listening.
4:13 a.m. I was allowed to do whatever the heck that my little heart desired. So we kept Painkiller Pat on for, I think, like 18 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, well, that's nice to admit now, is I'm sure they're going to come running down the hallway at me.
What did you guys do? I'd be like, it was 2013. I don't know.
I can't even watch a sporting event without being fit.
So, in the NHL playoffs, you probably have seen this picture at some point on social media or on television or something on the internet. And this is Columbus Blue Jackets defenseman Zach Werenski took a puck to the face in game 3, and blood is pouring out of his cheek and out of his eye and out of orifices that I didn't even think that a face could have. Basically, his face split open and blood is pouring down. He gets it stitched up and then comes back out on the ice to play in game 3. Ridiculous. And this dude is only 19 years old. He tries to block a shot. And he blocks the shot with his face, which to me would be the most terrifying part of being a hockey player. I think it'd be an amazing, amazing, amazing thing to have the ability to play hockey at that level, to be able to skate like that, puck handling, scoring goals, the speed that you play with, the physicality that's involved as well. I think it's a beautiful game. And if I could play to that level, I would be thrilled. But the one thing that I always said was I would never block a shot. Because I wouldn't want that shot anywhere near my face that feels so vulnerable. Like, that's a little hard biscuit of vulcanized frozen rubber that's coming at you at 100 miles an hour. I'm sorry. Shot's going through, man. That's what my goalie's for. That's not what I'm there for. But Werenski is a badass because he's a hockey player. Goes down, takes it in the face, blood everywhere, gets it stitched up, comes back into the ice. I mean, just remarkable. So he takes a picture after the game of his face swollen and blown up. He's got a black eye. His nose looks like Sloth from the Goonies. He's got something stuck up his nostril so it stops bleeding. I mean, the guy looks like a monster. Monster. And last night for game 4, the Blue Jackets trying to stave off elimination from the Pens. They were down 3-0. Some fan gets that picture, which is heinous, made into a t-shirt. Now, when I tell you made into a t-shirt, you're probably thinking, oh, he had that like silk screened onto the front of a white t-shirt. When I was in 10th grade, I made a t-shirt of Run DMC, and it was Run DMC's album cover, and I just had it. I went to the mall, and it was like $19, and it was like that old pixelated silk screen, and it was on my shirt, and I just thought it was the coolest shirt ever. Just the absolute coolest shirt. And I did the same thing with Fresh Prince and DJ Jazzy Jeff. He's the DJ, I'm the rapper, that album cover. I just thought that was the coolest album cover. So I had these two t-shirts that I wore all the time. But like, if you were more than 5 feet away from me, you couldn't really tell what it was because it was blurry and, you know, it was the 90s, so nothing really was all that enhanced technologically when I was making these. So you're thinking of that. Oh, no, 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 no. This guy basically has the picture of this dude's face wrapped around his body. Mraz, I don't know how you make a shirt like that because the nose is probably a foot and a half wide. The eyes are on both of his shoulder blades. The mouth is around his belly button. The goatee goes around his waist. And it looks like it's not a picture that's on a shirt. It looks like he had a big piece of cloth printed out with his picture and then sewed it into a shirt.
Almost like he's wearing a Zach Werenski costume.
Yeah.
Like it's almost like putting a... You know when you're sitting behind the free throw line or sitting behind the basket of a college basketball game with the big heads? It was like a big head turned into a shirt.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
It's unbelievably terrifying.
It's terrifying.
Just too much. He must be a t-shirt maker. Like, there's no way he walked up to the mall in Columbus, Ohio and said, all right, I need this. Okay, do you want the small version on top of your belly? No, I want the whole thing shoulders down to my gut.
I need this printed out on 50-50, cotton polyester, and I just want it sewn into a shirt. Now, there's an interesting bit here. The Blue Jackets won last night with this guy in the stands wearing this. Does that guy have to be at all Blue Jackets games the rest of the way now? And is this now what changes and turns the series?
I think there is something to superstition and energy, and I think he has to wear this shirt going forward. I don't think it really matters, though, because I think the Blue Jackets are going to get eliminated. The question then becomes, what does he do with this shirt after this? Because what's going to happen is this guy's going to fold this up. He's going to put it in his dresser. Maybe he takes it out 3 years from now to wear to the gym. And then people are going to go, well, what's that? Like, nobody's going to remember. This is a story caught up in the moment. What are you going to do with this shirt after 2 weeks from now?
Would you wear this shirt?
No.
Who's your favorite hockey player ever? Ryan Callahan?
Ryan Callahan, yes.
If Ryan Callahan, this happened to Ryan Callahan, would you wear a Ryan Callahan shirt with his nose and his eye busted up like this?
Nope, I'd wear the jersey in support of him or a t-shirt jersey. I'm not wearing his face all over me. Not happening.
It's so gross. It is so, I can't imagine wearing this as well. Bilotti, would you wear this shirt?
No, maybe like a pixelated version like the Run DMC shirt, something like that.
That's like smaller on your chest.
Yeah, but nothing like this.
This is...
You know what else I don't like?
It looks like somebody melted an Easter Island statue of Wierenski and just poured it over his body.
I also don't like this because this guy's going for attention.
Interesting.
He's going just so everybody looks at him.
Like a Marlins man.
Yes, and I don't like that. Like, if you wanted to get the pixelated version show up and like somebody next to you goes, oh, that's a pretty cool shirt. He made this so big that when he walked in the arena, the attention was on him and not the team on the ice. If he's a true fan, don't you want all the focus there? He made this about him last night.
The Blue Jackets official Twitter account tweeted out the picture multiple times.
And now we're talking about it on national radio. This guy's getting everything he wanted. He wanted the attention. I'm calling fraud on his fanism.
Okay. You can check out the picture by going to our Facebook page and let us know if you would have worn that shirt to the game last night. Facebook.com/TheDA Show. Like the show page when you get there.
Yeah, get my timeline popping.
Let's get to your best sound of the day, boys and girls.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
We start with Avery Bradley, who admits Rondo was telling his boys last night they have quit.
Our team, I looked around and a few times in the game, you know, guys were putting their heads down and I think getting down on ourselves, but as a team, we have to stay together. We have to, the other team is looking at that. You know, they're using that as motivation for themselves. And I could even hear Rondo like, yeah, they gave up. But we never can let a team see that.
I wonder if the Celtics did give up last night. I mean, it's pretty demoralizing to be the one seed and lose both of your games at home. And at stretches last night, I mean, the Celtics were down by nearly 20 points. Nearly 20 points to the 8 seed at home in a game, too, that I don't want to say was a must-win, but it was a pretty important game. The Celtics are getting roughhoused. Now, I don't think that this series is over. I think we could be in for a really long series. But I'll tell you, if the Celtics played like that last night, it's going to be a short series. I think they get at least one of the two in Chicago. I think they come back at a Game 5 and win at home, and then we go to a Game 6 in Chicago where the Bulls lead 3-2. But the fact is that the Celtics have to win 4 of the next 5 to freaking win this series is a joke if they're a legit one seed. Don Mattingly pulled Wei-Yin Chen after 7 innings of no-hit baseball because he was at 100 pitches.
At that point, it really wasn't that hard of a decision. You know, I would love to see him throw a no-no. If he's at 70 going into the eighth, or, you know, he's a pitch, you know, or a range that's closer, then I'm going to give him a shot at it, but not when he's there, and I can't do that to him, and I can't really do it to our club.
I can't do that to him. I can't let him pitch to history. I just can't do that to the guy. Look, I realize that there are situations like Johan Santana, where Johan was coming off of arm injuries. He was a little up there in age. The Mets had never had a no-hitter, and so they're kind of pushing him, pushing him, pushing him, and he wants to be out there, and the crowd is into it, and then he gets up into the 120s, 130s, and what are you going to do? He closes it out, gets the no-hitter as part of Mets lore forever, but basically never pitches again. I realize there is that worry, but that's also the anomaly. I mean, we have 120, 150, how long has baseball been going on for? 1870, so we're talking about 150 years or so of organized baseball. We have never, outside of Johan Santana, had a no-hitter, and then the pitcher's like, well, that's it, there goes my arm, I'll never be the same again. We have 150 years of guys that pitch no-hitters being fine. Now, I realize it's a different age. Pitch counts are very specific. You want to be careful. The money's bigger. But just managing out of fear is such a problematic way to me to manage. And finally, you're going to love this. Tennis play-by-play announcer Mike Cation is calling the Sarasota Open. And the tennis match has to be halted because at the Sarasota Open, somebody's getting real frisky.
30, 15.
I still hear it. It's still going. What is going on?
It can't be that good!
No, that's not a phone. That is... that's an apartment across the lake. Oh, my God.
40-15.
Well, everybody was looking around to see where that was coming from and finally figure out that wasn't a video. Well, at least somebody's having a good night.
Does anyone realize Bills fans do that in the 500 level every single Sunday?
She's a bad girl, David.
Oh, it's great. This is from the Toronto Sun. There was passion on the court at Tuesday night's Sarasota Open. There was even more passion at a nearby luxury villa, a center court match between Americans Francis Tiafoe and Mitchell Krueger. I apologize if I pronounced Tiafoe's name incorrectly. It was interrupted midway through the second set by apparent loud lovemaking, leaving Tiafoe in disbelief as he was preparing to serve. Tiafoe was the one that screamed, "It can't be that good." I mean, that's an amazing line from an athlete in the moment, right? I mean, that is an amazing line.
As he's hitting up the ball to serve and he's just hearing that. That's tremendous.
He eventually won the sex-delayed contest, 6-3, 6-2, as they had to pause to wait for the action to subside.
Yeah, it wasn't a video.
Now, how do you know, though? How do you know it's not, he's not watching the internet or somebody's not in the next, that's not coming out of a computer?
I guess if you're there in the moment, you realize, I guess, how loud it was if you're hearing it in person, that's somebody not, because his first guess was, I think somebody is watching something on their phone, he says in the first part,
yeah,
you know, hinting that somebody's watching porn on their phone. So
yeah.
I guess if you're there in the moment, you realize there's no way that little sound or that big sound could come out of that.
Maybe you also hear thumping on the wall or something like that from the villa.
I mean, where are we building this in the middle of apartments? Where? This isn't Arthur Ashe, I guess.
I mean, seriously, where are we playing the Sarasota Open where there's a luxury villa or an apartment across the quote-unquote lake that
the
you can hear?
The handball courts at LA Fitness? What
I mean,
are you doing?
Seriously. That's your sound check. Honestly, Mike Cation, who's the play-by-play announcer there, has got to send that out on his demo reel every single time. That's got to be your calling card. If you're a tennis announcer, I mean, all tennis announcers sound the same, no offense, but I'm never listening going like, oh, that guy's really good as a tennis announcer, because it's just the same monotone, low energy, six love, 6-3, two love, set. Match. You know, there's nothing to it. And if I'm the one that is actually called a tennis match that has been delayed because of the naughty, because of the hanky-panky, because of the boom-boom, you know, I'm sending that out. I'm like, I actually have the greatest tennis call ever.
Get on top of the guy and they'll do a lap dance.
I'm the one going, yeah, I'm that guy. Yeah, remember that? You heard that? I was the play-by-play announcer.
Oh, my God.
48-15.
So much better than if this happened on Monday Night Football and John Gruden was calling it. You know, let me tell you, Sean, that girl sounds like a real competitor.
She could play for my team any day of the week.
You know, I just like the energy that she's bringing to the table right now, Sean. Spider Y2 banana in that villa right now.
Well, at least somebody's having a good night.
When we come back here on the DA Show, Elijah Qualls, Washington defensive tackle. How high in the draft will he go? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.